This podcast is sponsored by Supco TradeVox. Technician invented, technician proven.
It's Monday and we about to get it. Monday, baby. I own Mondays. Monday's my bitch.
What's happening, guys? This is HVAC Chronicler.
Hey, guys. It's Ben from HVAC Strong.
This is Lance from SolderWeld, and you are tuned in to the HVAC Tactical Podcast.
Let's rise and let's shine, for you are listening to one of the greatest HVAC podcasts, HVAC Tactical. Let's go!
Make a decision to be the best. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Your work reflects you, so protect your reputation. Don't ever give up. HVAC Tactical. It's a mindset.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the HVAC Tactical Podcast. I'm your host, Ben, and I have a special guest in the house tonight. And actually, this is going to be her first podcast ever. I have in the house with us tonight, Rachel Sylvain, HVAC Rara. You may know her on Instagram. She is the CEO and co-owner of AGS HVAC Services out of Westport, Massachusetts. So welcome, Rachel.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries at all. I'm glad you're here. And thanks for taking the time to hang out for a little bit. So
I appreciate the invite.
So, yeah, you're quite the talk on social media with, making moves in the trade as a woman. And I just thought it would be really cool to have everybody who's listening kind of just hear your story and see, you know, for themselves, hear it straight from the source, if you will, the moves that you've made, where you come from, from the very beginning to where you are now. So let's just dive right in.
Okay. Well, thanks. That was a really nice introduction. And I think that's awesome. And I'm really excited to share my story. So, you would think my dad owns a company, right? You would think that I grew up in the trade, but I actually didn't. Graduating high school, my grandmother got diagnosed with cancer. So my senior year in high school, going into college, I kind of decided not to go away to school and to stay local to help my mom take care of my grandmother. So automatically, I felt like going into the nursing trade was kind of going to be my calling, because just with the experience at home and the feedback from my grandmother on, you know, what a good caregiver she felt that I was, you know, thought that was going to be my calling. So fast forward to, I would say, the summer of 2014, my dad had been in business for maybe about a year. In 2013, him and John Slattery, they worked for the same company, and I guess they worked for a really bad company, very bad culture, didn't take care of their employees. So one day they just decided, hey, we're gonna go into business for ourselves. So that summer of 2014, I had a patient pass, and I said to Dad, well, why don't you let me come in into the office? He was working out of the home, and I said, why don't you let me come into the office and help out, a little bit, answer phone, emails. And he was like, oh, I got a business partner. I don't think I can pay you. I don't think I can afford it. And I was like, whatever. I start nursing school in September. No big deal. You know, Zoe was maybe about four. So I was like, I'll take the summer, you know, answer phone. So we did that. We worked out of his, a little bedroom out of his house. John was still working for that same company. Dad and John went down to a Burlington Coat factory in Bloomfield, Connecticut, and got a chiller up and going. So then they decided to give us like 14 or 15 new stores. So John had to kind of make the decision to come aboard full force. And from there, I was like, okay, all right. So we've got all these stores. Now what are we doing? Like I'm working out of a bedroom. So I decided, you know, to look on the internet, and I was like, hey, Dad, no, there's this shop down the street. The rent was ridiculous for like a full shop warehouse. And at the time, Uncle Paul was working for the union doing sheet metal. And he was kind of doing a little bit of residential on the side for Dad. because at the beginning, we're mostly commercial. John and Dad, just that's what they were. They were service techs. So we moved into the shop, I would say, the fall of 2014. By then, we had gained more stores, and Mike Jr. had graduated from Volk Tech School and was working for a great company, local company. And Dad and I decided, like, we got to get Mike on board. Like, it's time. We're growing. We got more stores. You know, I don't think my dad or John ever thought we would be where we are today. I honestly think they just wanted to go to work and make a decent living for themselves. You know, not worry about, I don't know, I really thought they thought it was going to be easy. So we got Mike, we finally convinced Mike to come along because he worked for a really great company. Mike came along, and from there, we added Auntie in the office. And as the commercial accounts grew, we, I would say, a lot of more responsibility. I started to wear a lot more hats because Mike was out in the field, John was out in the field, Dad was out in the field, right? So you're getting all those phone calls, suppliers, bills need to be paid, you got people sending plans over, quotes that need to be submitted. And so I was just sitting around like, okay, well, I can't sit here all day, you know? And I just gained a passion for it. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to go to nursing school. I'm going to stay and I'm going to help. And so I started just small with the commercial quotes, you know, rooftop, heat exchangers, draft inducer motors, you know, ordering the parts, you know, of course, my rookie years, you get John on the roof doing a condenser fan motor. He's like, Rach, where's my blade and cap? You know, if they're not writing that on the work ticket, you know, you don't know. I'm like, well, you didn't write it on the work ticket, you know? So I gained a lot of knowledge from doing those quotes. And from there, we did a lot of rooftop replacements, rooftop crane, you know, Dad would get me out there. He'd be like, all right, let's go. You know, you're the one bidding the job from the office. You know, you're approving the submittals, you know, the way the curbs adapters are going down. You got to come out in the field. So when you're doing 17, you know, you got to be organized. Okay, we got a 7.5 ton. We're picking from the back first, then we're picking from the front. So that's kind of like where my organizational skills came from. It's like a strength of mine. I'm very, you know, OCD, you know, organized. And, yeah, so, you know, I just grabbed onto it and I loved it. And so it was nice to kind of bring an Auntie aboard because then I could actually leave the shop. I think for the first 2 years, I don't think I got paid or.
Story of our lives. Story of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I ever got paid or able to leave the office, you know, just because we were trying to grow. And so, you know, the commercial, then it started to, you know, rooftop replacements. Then you've got to, some of them we had to do some steel reinforcements. So we, you know, then it was running a project like that and understanding, well, we got sprinklers in the way and we got to get fireproofing and structural needs to be done. And so all of that experience, I got to give it to John. He had amazing patience with teaching and kind of like just edging me into that. Like, all right, Rach, hey, this is what we got to do. You got to come down here. You got to stay overnight. And this is what we got to do. We got to make sure we pull all these proper permits. You got to communicate with the structural engineer, you know, when we're welding, it's got to be overnight, you know, a lot of organization. So I would say from there, what's that, 2015, 16, we were working down in the shop one day and our territory manager walks in from our distributor and she says, you know what, Rach, I think you'd be great going to this conference. And I was like, oh, a free trip? You know, like,
that's what you heard.
You want to send me to Florida for free? And I was like, Dad, John, guess what? You know, Holman's wants to send me on a free trip, blah, blah, blah. So I got all excited. You know, honestly, Ben, I thought nothing of it. Honestly, I was thinking like, hey, I get to go on this free trip, whatever. I get to go to Sunshine, a couple of days away. But I would say it was probably – the most impactful, I don't even want to get emotional, but it probably was the most impactful on my career and on myself, because I didn't know going to this Bryant Women in HVAC conference was, you know, I didn't know women were in the trade. I didn't know that, I didn't know that it was acceptable. So I get down there, and the keynote speaker is Charlene Ierna from Lutz, Florida, Ierna's Heating and Cooling. And when I ever saw her speak then, you know, very similar to myself, she just blonde, and I thought to myself, they take blonde women serious in our trade? Oh my God. She's, you know, she's the biggest, one of the biggest Bryant dealers. And so then connecting with her after the conference was just, it was like, okay, I came back from the conference and I was like, you know what? We're going to put all our eggs in one basket, Dad. There's no more trying to win jobs by selling good, by selling Goodman or selling this, or we're going to put all our eggs in one basket. We're going to build this relationship with our distributor and with this brand, right? I found a lot of value in it. You know, that relationship, I mean, to this day, that relationship from 5-6 years ago is huge in my business. They were a big part of our growth and the support that AGF had, even the support in myself as being a woman in leadership. So that conference, I would say, was just, it just took me to another level. And then from there, every year you're going back and you're saying, how can I level up my business, or how can I level up myself? What is my fingerprint? What is my authentic self? What am I bringing to the table for AGF, you know? And we were small, so it was a hard fight. I don't want to say fight, but conversation with trying to have marketing dollars with Dad. John is great. He's supportive. He listens, and he's like, yeah, okay. We need a website. Yeah, we need a website, guys. Like, you know, we have to.
Wow, here it was 2016. You guys didn't have a website.
We didn't have a website. We had, like, it was just word of mouth, you know?
Yep.
Just we had a couple of, we worked for a couple of brokers. And then, like I said, Dad, word of mouth, residential, small. We kind of did a couple of houses here and there. So that relationship with Holman grew to where they were like, okay, AGF is growing. One of my Bryant brand manager, he said, Rach, you should take this BDR class, this business development class. And I said, all right. So I said, Dad, you know, Holman's wants to send me this business development class. You know, it was about profitability and it's like, oh, okay, you know, I can take something away from this. So in going with this, you're networking with your distributor, right? You're building these relationships, and after hours, you know, after the class and the women that held the class, and you're conversating, I think the love and the passion for not only the Bryant brand, but our trade and my team, it just kind of poured out of me. And then that's kind of when I think something came across the table to our distributor for this old house. And they were like, oh, we got a great fit for this project in Rhode Island. And I think AGF is going to be a great fit. You know, we're tri-state, Mass, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. So that opened up a lot of doors residentially for AGF, because from there, working with, do a lot of work for a great home builder out in Rhode Island, Sweener Builders. And it just opened up the door residentially on RNC, on residential new construction. And my brother grew a passion for it, right? Like installing equipment, the whole nerdy part of it, the controls and just everything. And then, and plus when you work for, or you're subcontracting for a company that has a great culture and a great atmosphere, you know, that helps. But from there, I would say, we started to grow in residential and the new construction side, and our name really started to get out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
So really, you know, I guess my first impression of you guys was that you were just this big company, right, out in Mass someplace. And really wasn't that long ago that you guys were just this really small mom and pop shop, and you guys have really laid down some foundation and really just started grinding, right, to get this thing done. So talk to me about the transition, because when I first met you, you were just kind of working with your dad. You really weren't owning the company by any means, but now you've moved into a CEO and co-owner role. So talk to me about that.
So I would say over the last year, that has been it's been really strong inside of me, right? Because I've been beside Dad and John since 2014. I've helped them every step of the way grow this business, right? These two guys do HVAC. That's what they're good at. Nobody went to business school. Nobody knows, you know, we didn't know how to run a business. I think Dad and John just wanted to kind of make a decent living, not be millionaires by any means, and just go to work every day and love what they do. And so I think I've kind of brought that different aspect to the business, to where it's like, hey guys, you know, we need to know our numbers. You know what I'm saying? We need to know what we need to be doing every day. And so being beside them and trying to guide them, understanding, hey, you know, we need to have a technician loaded labor rate. Like, what does our hourly rate? And my dad fought me so hard from changing from $65 an hour to upping our hourly rate. He was like, we can't do it. We're going to lose customers. Not when you're providing quality work. We can't be at this. We're losing money, yep. You know? And so it took a lot to prove to him, you know, hey, listen, Dad, I'm taking these classes. I didn't go to business school either, but I'm networking with these women who have been successful. This is what's working with them. So over the last year, I was like, okay, we need better software, right? We need to measure our data. I can't be sitting here looking through invoices, going through slips every day to see, you know, if we're estimating jobs right. We need to use technology, be able to click a button and say, oh, yep, this is how profitable we were. Oh, we broke even. Hey, we lost our shirt on this one. So investing in that, in ServiceTitan and in the software, I think in the last year has been huge. And then navigating COVID was difficult. We were commercial in 2020. So making sure that the company survived, I felt kind of like that landed on my shoulders. Right. My dad was ready to just call it in because all the malls were closed. So we have all these commercial accounts. We got guys with families. We don't want to lay them off. They don't want to be laid off. So, you know, making that move to make sure, you know, whatever the government had out there to help us save or keep us going in business, and then making sure we were taking the right steps to survive that. I think that was, I think Dad and John really valued that, you know, they saw that, like, hey, Race is making sure that we're okay. You know, we're going to survive. And then I would say about 6 months ago, I had an opportunity financially to, help the company. You can't grow. You need money to make money. I mean, it sounds cliche, but you can't grow, or, you know, you can't wait for that. You know, you're billing out either on the new construction or on the commercial side, and you're waiting 30 days. But in the middle of that 30 days, guess what? I have two payrolls I have to make. So, and I got to figure that out, right? And I don't like emailing and, you know, so we needed a cushion. We needed to be able to. And so I, you know, said, hey, listen, this is something that I can do for the company. And right away, Dad was like, well, you deserve to be an owner. And I kind of like, because if you know my dad, he's very, he'll call himself, what is that? He calls himself Stern, you know, or.
But he's old school. Really, he's old school.
Yeah, you nailed it. Dad is so old school. But the amount of, I would say, you know, respect. And then John just coming in and saying, nope, Rach is a big part of why where we are today. You know, why we have those banners, why those banners are hanging up, you know.
Well, looking from the outside in, right, it's like, oh, that her dad owns a company. That's why she is where she is, right? But people don't realize, like, you earned your stripes, right? Yep. Like, you earned what you've been given. And I feel like there's something to be said for that. And I mean, that's cool that you were able to make that move, and in a sense also be kind of sacrificial, right? Where it's like, hey, look, this is what's best for the company. I want to do this for the company because I believe in the company. And then out of nowhere, right, your dad's like, and probably out of character for your dad too, right? Like, hey, I think you should be an owner. So
yes, so out of character, because still to this day he'll say, I'm still the boss.
He always is.
Like, you know, I'm still the boss. You're my partner, but and so me and John will laugh because I mean, you don't get a better, John is just phenomenal. I mean, he's just so supportive. He's a working partner. He's going to go out there and lead from the front. And he's just a great example of our culture and what we're about at AGS. And so, you're right. It was out of character, but I got to give it to my dad. Like he knows that I have the company's best interest, right? And I'm sitting here saying, you got to listen to this podcast and you got to be a better leader. And you don't, you know, cause like you said, he's old school, right? So some of his leadership tactics worked back in when he worked at the shipyard, or Uncle Paul worked at the shipyard, but that doesn't work today, especially with the younger generation. You know, you can't, that type of leadership, it just doesn't vibe. And he'll be like, okay.
I think there's, you know, that old generation has that mindset. I know that when I moved from Arizona to Texas and helped my dad start a company here, you know, I was like, hey, we got to charge accordingly. We got to do this. We got to do that. And my dad's like, well, you know, I mean, we could probably do that for like 6,000. I'm like, I'm thinking like 8,500. You know what I mean? My dad's like, wow, that's a lot. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you have to get that old school mentality out of the way, you know? And I've always said for years that, you know, people in the field, the technicians, the installers, like, we're just good old boys. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to mess with the money. We don't, I feel awkward about even asking people for money, right? It was just one of those things where, we'll let the office take care of that, right? Like, hey, what do I owe you? Oh, the office will bill you. You know, it's like, that's just the old school mentality, because money is just like, it's been so ingrained in us in culture, especially in the blue collar community, that money's like a bad thing, right? Like, you have to almost like lie, cheat, and steal your way if you're going to get rich or you're going to get money. And reality is like, man, we've been taught completely wrong. You know, if you bring enough value to the table, people will pay you what you're worth. And if people aren't willing to pay you, then it's not that you're not worth it. It's just that they think that you're not worth it. But there's 100 other customers out there who are going to think that you're worth it and willing to pay it. And so, go ahead.
Yeah. And you get a different clientele.
You do.
When you do that, right?
You totally do.
So you're almost going into that bracket of where that's the, you know, you want those clients who value what you're bringing to the table, that you send your technicians and you spend money for your technicians to have these Mitsubishi maintenance tools that are not cheap, and yep, computers so we can plug into them and properly diagnose your system so we're not walking away or coming back two or three times.
Tools, right? And trucks and, yeah, all the good stuff. Yeah. It's like press tools. I mean, look at how expensive press tools are. You know, it's ridiculous. The cost of entry into that game is ridiculous, which is why a lot of people won't do it. But it's like, man, it sure does make life a lot simpler, you know? But yeah, there's just so many things that are out there that are very old school, very cliche, very just, they've been taught to us in the culture that these things are like, you don't want to mess with that. We don't do that. We don't do it this way. And it's like, it took me a long time. Like, I had to learn how to handle the sales game. I had to learn how to ask people for money, right? And not just here's, you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, like a lot of money, you know. Like when I sit down and talk to people about the sales game and like the stuff that I sell, I mean, I'm selling $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 systems, and they're just like, how the hell do you sell that, you know? And so imagine presenting this and then basically telling somebody that's going to be $43,954. And and not blink. Like, you know what I mean? Like going from being, I mean, growing up in this business for me, watching my dad sell like $3,000 air conditioning systems, right, as a kid, to now selling $43,000 air conditioning systems, like that's a game changer, you know? And a lot of people just don't understand. And it's because you haven't adjusted your mindset right, you know? Some people will always side on the side that says, oh, you're just ripping people off, you're doing this. I'm not, dude. I'm doing what you're not doing, and that's why I'm charging what you're not charging, you know? Right. And I think that when you can get your mind right in all of those aspects and forget about what culture has taught us over the last 15, 20, 30, 40 years, you can really begin to change your life. And, you know, they say money doesn't buy happiness, but it's pretty important, right? It ranks up there like with air. I mean, you got to have it.
Yeah. And one of my favorite sayings is revenue is vanity and profit is sanity. Right. So that, yeah, you're bringing in that revenue, but are you profitable? Are you charging enough for, you know, for what you're doing or where you're traveling? And there's so many other factors. I mean, that old school mentality almost bankrupted us then, to the where all summer we were billing and just the office would send billing 30 days on no AC, R22 blow up. We lost, I think, one summer, $7,000 for residential that didn't pay bills. And I said, this isn't happening anymore. And we can't be billing 30 days, but that's that old school mentality.
Yep.
Send them a bill in the mail.
Yep. I'm a COD, you know, and I grew up in a very old school community where it was a lot of retirement people, right? And they would be like, oh, just send me a bill in the mail. And I'm like, no, ma'am, we're COD. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, just send it to me in the mail. And I'm like, no, ma'am, we're COD. Like, I'm not real sure how I can make that any more clear than I already have.
Yeah. That's why I implemented the new software. And I was like, listen, guys, I know it's expensive, but we've lost this amount of money during the heating and cooling season residential. And if we're going to keep taking service calls, we need to be able to collect out in the field. And then if we're collecting out in the field, we need some kind of live service, you know, ticket that we can email off. So you're collecting, you get the invoice and everything. That was another big part of implementing, not only measuring our numbers and our data, was, you know, being able to collect out in the field.
Well, that kind of blows me away at how many people are out there running businesses and they're still writing paper tickets. And I'm just like, what? You know, when I made the transition from paper tickets over to electronic, like in the field, that transition for us was ServiceTitan, and it's been a game changer.
Great.
So for sure.
On ServiceTitan
too? Oh yeah, they're the industry standard at this point, you know.
Yeah.
But IndustryTitan came out of left field and just they're the 900-pound gorilla. I mean, they are mm-hmm. the big guys, right? But they came in with a lot of capital to be able to do what they're doing. But yeah, it was a game changer. And, you know, we had a program back in the office, but you had to transition everything from paper tickets and then basically data entry that stuff into the office computer, which was like, I mean, when we started, my dad was inputting stuff like at nighttime, you know, we're done with the day and he's at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night inputting data. And I was like, dude, this just doesn't work, man. So yeah. ServiceTitan was not cheap by any means, but the amount of time that it saves, well, offsets itself. So
absolutely. And trying to get technicians to understand that, especially old school technicians, I have one or two that I know when we first started, John was kind of, when we started with WinTAC.
I was on WinTAC. That's what I was on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So when we first started in 2014, my dad's a very tech savvy guy. So he implemented that right away. Of course, he put it right in front of me. He was like, you have to learn this. And I was like, oh.
Creating whips.
Yes, whips. Creative whips. Yep.
That's funny.
I still call it a whip. I'll be like, Auntie, are you in a whip? She's like, I'm in a service. ticket. Oh, okay. So getting John on board with WinTax took a little bit, but then he understood the value as a business owner. He picked up on it. He was like, all right, Rach, I see why we need this. And then, you know, just over the last 2 years, I was like, okay, you can't edit anything. It's not user friendly. It's inundated. Like we need to be up with the time.
Yeah, I think any company who's trying to grow, you have to keep evolving. And if you're still doing stuff on paper tickets, man, you're way behind the times. Like when I see guys show up to houses and I'm like, let's just say I'm there for whatever reason. I see some dude show up with a paper ticket. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like that kind of goes to show what kind of operation you're running, right? Like you may be super knowledgeable and you might be a really good technician, but like you're not utilizing the technology around you to really be proficient at what you're doing. And so you got to get into something that's electronic, something that can kind of get you on the fly. But I mean, yeah. And that's true with every aspect of the business, right? From your dispatching to your invoicing to your accounting to, I don't know, man, to the way that you guys do installs. I mean, how efficient is that process, you know?
Zach Desjardins here, also known as Quality HVACR on Instagram and YouTube. Now, I'm always rocking the HVAC tactical gear, and I now have my own Black on Black special edition hat. So make sure you head on over to the HVAC tactical store, pick up that Zach Desjardins special edition Black on Black.
I want to kind of circle back to the transition from going from just working for your dad and for John, and it was John, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For working for your dad and for John, and then making that transition, you know, putting some capital in and becoming co-owner of the company. What did that transition look like? Did people begin to look at you differently in the company? Like, you know, did they know the story? Did they know what was happening? Or were they just looking at, oh, that's dad's little girl. She took the reins. There it is, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know what people think. The transition has been, my brother has been absolutely supportive. He's amazing. He's installing a pool right now, and he came over on Sunday and he's like, hey, Roz is the best project manager. She's great at pulling permits. We're going to the boss's house, you know? So my brother has been amazing. My team, absolutely amazing. I just got a bunch of men and women that are so supportive. I don't know. Outside, I noticed like a couple of times, like maybe somebody will say, oh, you, like they'll still reach out to dad, and dad will be like, oh, you gotta talk to Rachel. She's in charge, you know. And we got this, it's so funny. We got this mill that we do, and they're a pain in the butt. And the guy comes up, he's like, oh, I heard you won't service me. And he turned around and he said, yeah, Rachel's the owner now, and you don't treat my technicians right when they come, and you got to talk to her. She's the boss, you know. We're not showing up. And so, you know, it's been, you know, you get, I mean, it's been good, I guess. You know, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know if people really know that I earned my seat at the table, or, you know, I mean, I know Dad and John do.
Right.
They value me. I know their family, John's family does. John's children and wife is like they're like a second family to me.
Well, I think no matter how awesome your story is, and no matter how much you earned it or didn't earn it, you're always going to have haters. You know what I mean? Like somebody's always going to hate on you for something. So, and they could just hate on you just because you're a woman, right? Like, oh, you don't belong here. This is blue collar, right? But you used a term, blue collar bougie.
Yeah. Blue collar bougie.
I like that.
So, the story behind that, so this past April, the Brian asked me to speak on the panel, you know, a little bit about being what my story was of being a Bryant Medal of Excellence winner. And what was it like to navigate to be 4 years in a row, you know, a Medal of Excellence winner. So up there, you know, I shared my story and I just said, listen, it's because I struggle with the image, or I struggle with, you know, I'm blonde, I'm bubbly, I'm raw, right? And so I struggle
with
being.
You're raw.
I'm raw, right? And if you know me, I struggle with being, you know, is this okay in business? Like, can I can I be my bubbly, happy self? And, you know, I struggle with that. And I kind of got up on stage and I just said, listen, it's okay to be blue collar bougie. Yeah, sometimes I'm going to show up, you know, with my blonde ponytail and maybe full face of glam. I mean, here I am, right? This is me. It's just, you know, being my authentic self. And the amount of, like, I got off stage and a lot of the women were like, I love that. I'm going to use it all the time. And I was like, awesome. Because we can own it. Because we can be bougie and we can be blue collar. We can do it both. You know, this trade is just, it's amazing.
Well, I think people in general are amazing, right? And it takes many kinds to make the world go round. And it's in this industry, as culture is shifting and people are becoming more aware that, you know, you don't have to put on a front to be a part of a certain industry, or you don't have to put on a front to be, you know, a professional, if you will, in any aspect of life or any trade. You know, I used to teach sales classes, and part of one of the things that I tell them is, like, you have to, like, here's a template of what a sales process would look like, but really, man, you have to take this and make it your own, right? And that's going to be true to any walk in any industry, in any trade, in any walk of life. You have to take it and make it your own. And, you know, I'll tell people, like, dude, by the end of a sales call for me, like, I'm high-fiving people, I'm hugging people, like, I'm poking fun at them, like, you know, like, cracking jokes, and they're doing it back to me, and, like, we're having a good time. But if you don't have the personality to pull that off, dude, you're not going to get that sale. They're going to tell you that you're a jackass. They're going to tell you that you're rude, you know, and then they're going to tell all their friends to never do business with you. So you have to be able to pull it off. You have to be a people person, right? And I think in any, especially in the service business, you have to be a people person. But you kind of mentioned something that really hit home with me, because I've kind of made some of those same changes as well, where if you're just kind of if you're just an asshole customer, like, I don't need you as a customer. I got plenty of other great customers out there who treat us well when we show up. They're thankful that we're there. They're thankful that we showed up on time, and they're thankful that we're going to fix the problem. And it's like, people today have just become so entitled and so bougie, right? Where it's like, holy crap, dude. Like, I don't know what you do for a living or who else you talk to this way, but I don't know who you think I am, but you're not going to talk to us that way. Like, we're just not going to service you. And then they get all upset, like, oh, I can't believe it. So you don't need my business? No, actually, I don't, you know? And I think when you can hone your skills and really guide your business into the direction that you really want, you can seek out the customers that you really want. And then you can start to pick and choose what you really want, right? And that's one of the things I love about the HVAC business, is that there's so many avenues that you can specialize in, right? Like, I don't mess with commercial because it takes too long to get my money, right? Residential, I'm in, I get paid, and I'm out. Like, that's what I want. And but in this industry, you can go residential, you can go commercial, you can go industrial, you can mess with chillers, you can mess with VRV, you can, there's grow houses. Like, there's so many things that you can do and specialize in. And you just have to choose what it is you want to do. New construction, right? Like, I don't touch new construction because it's not a good fit for me for what I do. And so, you know, and any guy in this industry, you just have to choose who you want to be, and you just have to jump in that groove and you just freaking grind it out, man. And I think at the other end of that, you know, that groove, you realize, like, man, I'm way better for it. Like, now I can pick who I want to do business with. Like, I've established my name. I'm reputable now. You know what I mean? But you got to want it, you know? And I see that passion in you, and I dig that because I have the passion in me, and I see other guys that have the passion, and it's like, you know, game recognized game, right? Like, I see the passion that you have for the trade, and I love it. And I'm glad that your dad was able to see that in you. I'm glad that John was able to see that, and then the support system behind that to really help you thrive and help you grow in the position that you're in. Because it's a unique position, right? Like, you're not the first woman to own an HVAC company, right? But there's not a lot of them. So I think that's something really special.
Thank you. And it comes from the support system. And even before being an owner, like, if you know, like, when you met dad in when we were in Vegas, and he said, well, she just grew a passion for it, and he recognized that. And you know, that passion was, you know, not having a work-life balance, right? That's been tough. Oh, you know, it's, you know, with helping growing the business and, absolutely. It's
one of those things in this industry that a lot of people don't stop to think about. And I'm third generation in this business. So I've been doing this. This is just the way that it's been since I've been a kid, right? You just fucking work, dude. That's just what it is. Yep. Right. And at the end of the day, I think now we're a little bit more self-conscious of like mental health and a little bit more aware of like the family balance, the family life, work-life balance. And it's a conscious effort. Like it doesn't just happen by accident, right? You're not just like showing up and you'd be like, oh man, I got this great relationship with my kids and my wife. I balance it out with my HVAC business perfectly. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Like, it's super intentional. You have to make an effort to make it work. But even me, I mean, I try, and even I find myself like I'm just grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding. And then my wife has to pull me aside and be like, hey, you know, here's the real deal.
Can you get off the phone?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the struggle. Zach and I, we purposely try to make Friday night date night. But like even the other day we drove up to see Kevin Hart, and the whole time, boom, just putting out fires on the phone. And it actually, over the weekend, we had a family gathering, and Zoe was just kind of like, yeah, you know, mom, she's just working and just always on the phone. And, you know, it has its good and its bad, especially raising a female, right? I would say that is my biggest struggle. As you know, I'm lucky in the trade. I don't think I've ever really been disrespected. I've never really had those cliche, oh, you're a woman in the trade. You know, what is it like? I have a lot of respect when I'm out on the field and by my team. My struggle is, you know, being a woman entrepreneur, and even for men, you know, or, you know, as a woman, we're supposed to be home. We're supposed to be driving our kids to school, and we're supposed to be cleaning the house and cooking dinner and doing the grocery shopping.
Yeah. Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing that?
Right. I don't do any of that. I have a cleaning lady that comes, and my husband does the grocery shopping, and my mom does my laundry.
Well, you know, my mom just told me a couple of days ago, my grandmother just passed away a couple of weeks back, and she lived a good, thank you so much, but she lived a good life. And she's in a much better place right now. That's for sure. But my mom was telling me that, when we were kids, that my grandmother was really upset with her because she's like, you should be home raising your kids. Like, you shouldn't be working, you know? And my mom was like, that's just not me. Like, I can't stay home all day, you know? And, and both of my parents are kind of like that. So I was like, well, now I know where I get a double time. You know what I mean? Like, I just, all I do is just grind, you know? But like I said, it's very intentional, right? So like, we've tried to set aside Thursdays for date nights. We try to set aside like Friday nights for like movie nights with the kids, and like, you know, try to do that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you have to make a conscious effort if you want any type of balance, because this business will consume you. And then it will spit you out the other end, and you'll probably be addicted to alcohol or drugs, and you'll be divorced. I mean, that's the way this business is. Like, you have to make an intentional effort to make it work. Otherwise, you know, there's a very high statistic for divorce and alcoholism and drug use in this business. So,
yep.
And it's rough. It's a rough business to be in. But if you can manage it properly, then it's a great business to be in. It's a great industry to be in. It'll provide a lifelong income, you know, and no matter where you go, you can jump from the East Coast to the West Coast and you can find a job tomorrow, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah. People don't realize that. So,
no.
Your dad and John, I'm glad to see that they made that shift in that mindset from that old school and said, hey, it's time for the young kids to kind of take a run at it. So you said you had a brother that works for you. So you have any other siblings?
Nope. So just me and Mike, Mini Split Mike, I call him.
Mini Split Mike.
He's got a super passion for the trade.
But that was after you, right?
So Mike's 8 years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Mike's 8 years younger than me. And he kind of got into the trade. I think it was because of my dad. He went to Volk, Diamond Volk. And, yeah, so just me and Mike.
So, you know, I think your dad is probably has this proud moment, right? Because when he was younger in the trade, he probably never thought that his daughter would be in the trade with him, right? And so he probably has this, you know, when he talks like at Vegas, right? When he's like, yeah, she's just got a passion for it, man. Like, you can sense the pride that he has in him for you being next to him doing what he's been doing, right? And I could see the same thing like with my grandfather, you know, looking at my dad and looking at me and saying, hey, man, you know, I paved the way for these next two generations to be in the business, you know? People always ask me, go ahead.
That's awesome.
Yeah, people always ask me, you know, you're going to get your kids in the trade? I go, hell no, my kids ain't going to be in the trade. They're going to go do something completely different.
Right?
Yeah, no, this business can be a blessing and it can be a curse all at the same time, you know? But it's what I know, it's what I'm good at, right? And obviously it's what you're good at and you have a passion for it. And I don't know if do people, when you're talking to people, do they just look at you and they say, man, I can tell like you really have a passion for this industry.
Sometimes, like, you know, with my friends, you know, I think so.
Yeah, it's yeah, just
it, my like the women I network with, right? Sure. A lot of them, they can definitely just, it, I mean, it pours out of me, you know?
Yep.
Everything. It's just, we even have trouble not talking shop at family events,
yep.
Right?
I hear you.
Me and Mike will just be, you know, it's to where, like, my sister-in-law and my husband, they would call themselves, like, the non-gamashers, you know? Like, oh, God, shop talk again, you know? Zach and Lindsay just have their own little lingo, but it's okay, we gotta...
Oh, so your husband's not involved in the business?
No. So Zach works for Comcast. He's been with them for a while. Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't know why. I figured he was part of the business.
No, he says I'm the boss at home, so I can't be the boss at work, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny. So.
But he's extremely smart and very talented and he would be a great asset to our team, just whether it's sales or in the office or even on the install side, because he's an installer and just, you know, when he goes to somebody's house and he's running his cable wire, you know, it's so neat and tacked up. And
well, that's a unicorn right there, because that shit doesn't exist. I go to homes and I'm like, you know, this cable guy's got one fucking job and he can't even do that right. You know?
Right? Fucking cable guy.
Cable guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, you know, when you speak about the industry, about what you do for a living, like it comes just so you can feel the energy that's behind it, right? And I always tell people, you know, have you ever been to a concert that's like really, really good? And then a concert that's like, dude, that was terrible, you know? And what's the difference between? Is it the amount of people that was there? Or is it the performance and the artist, right? And it really what it boils down to is the energy that the artist gives off, the crowd picks up and delivers it back, right? And if you have an artist that's just kind of standing there not doing a whole lot, like there's just no, you know, zero fucks given, if you will, right? Like, yeah, it's just a bad concert, right? Well, you every day running around talking about what you do for a living, talking about your hobbies, talking about your, you know, your side hustles, talking about sports, talking about whatever it may be. When you bring that energy and that passion about it, spills out and people around you notice, right? And in the sales game, when you're passionate and energetic about something, people notice and they get energetic and passionate about it, right? They don't know nothing about air conditioning or HVAC. They're just like, dude, I never thought this could be so exciting, you know?
I just heat pump rock. Or like, even if you're in a restaurant, so Thursday we were in a restaurant and we're sitting down eating and I'm like, hey, your registers are sweating. You got to close that, you know, as we were in a pool house. So you got to close that door. You're bringing in all that humidity. I said, it's hot in here. He's like, you do HVAC? Yeah, let's close those doors. You're killing me here.
You should have said, no, I am HVAC.
Yeah, there you go.
You know who I am?
Right? I'm HVAC Rara.
That's funny. So what are the, so how big is your company now?
So there's about 15 of us. So me and Alfie in the office, I got three guys in Connecticut, two service guys in Mass, and then I got about five. Uncle Paul's my sheet metal foreman, and then I got Mike Jr. is my lead install manager, and then I got three other installers. So there's about 15 of us.
Very cool. So what are your plans? Just growing? You guys trying to branch out into more states? You just trying to look for more talented people? Like, what's your game plan?
Trying to find more talented people so we can keep up with the amount of work coming at us. Because we have, you know, I thought we saw some value, and if we could, you know, like you said, residential, those swap outs or those mini split installs, that's cash. Like, you know, like you're moving, you're grooving. It's very profitable. So being able to do a couple of installs to help offset that, like you said before, that commercial, you're waiting for your money, to help offset that commercial, because I got four guys that are super passionate about the commercial side, and that's what they do. They're commercial techs. So getting, you know, that's a part of AGS. So keeping that division going and strong is important. And so, you know, having that install side to help offset that cash flow, you know, I'd like to hire some, but like it's hard. And so I've tried, you know, getting into the high schools. I spoke at Blackstone Valley High School last year. They invited me back again this year. So I'm excited, really sad that these high schools are really encouraging these kids to go to college. And so that is very, like just speaking with the shop teachers, and they're like, yeah, we got to get them into co-op right away. And, that's like, oh man, you know, it's like, oh, hey, yep, boom, you went through all this. Now you should go to college, which I get. Business is good if you want to go into our trade, but our trade rocks, man. It's so awesome. HVAC is awesome. Like Dad says, we're the elite. He's like, plumbers, blah, 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 electricians, HVAC. We're the elite of the
King
trade,
of the trades.
You know?
King of the trades.
As HVAC Cookie Monster would say, we are the kings, you know?
That's it. Yeah, I mean, you know, electricians do what electricians do, right? And I'm not saying that they're not needed, because they are. And they definitely serve a purpose. But a lot of times they'll trace a problem back to a disconnect box, and then as soon as it hits the disconnect box, they'd be like, yeah, that's it. That's everything's good to here. It must be from here to the unit. You know, it's like, well, dude, you got 4 feet, bro. Like, just finish that shit off.
Right. Like, come on.
Same thing with plumbers, right? Like, plumbers will be like, oh, yeah, there's a drain leak. Oh, but yeah, nope, it stopped right here at the AC unit. You need to call HVAC guy. I'm like, dude, just fix it. It's not even a pressurized drain, you know? And so.
Especially with that. Air, they're like, oh no, you got a bad blower in the air handler. Okay, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, HVAC guys really can do it all. I'm not saying that we can do it all proficiently, but we can do it all, right? We do electrical work, we do plumbing work, you know, we do carpentry work, because we have to get stuff. I don't know if you saw that video I just did with the attic ladder coming down. Like, we installed that, you know what I mean? And it was just one of those things where it was like, it needed to get done. The carpenter guy I hired just freaking let me down. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm just going to do it myself.
You know what? And that's awesome. I need one of them in my house. So
yeah, it was an interesting little setup. It was really kind of a pain in the ass, but it's like anything, right? When you don't do something every day, you have to learn how to do it. And then after you do it, you're like, okay, that wasn't so bad after the fact. And if I had to do it again, I could do it a whole lot faster. But sorry, I had to clear my throat. But but yeah, it's interesting that, you know, we are the king of the trades. And that's other plumbers and electricians and everybody, they'll all argue, no, you're not. Yeah, we are. So it's let's just squash that right here. We are.
Yeah, we are.
So. But so that's cool. So, yeah, so anybody looking for work in Westport, Massachusetts area.
Yeah. Or Rhode Island, or even Connecticut.
Yeah, you hit up
hit up Rachel on Instagram or check, go to their website. I would imagine you have a website now, right?
We do. And I'm actually, it's so bad because about 4 years ago, Dad didn't give me a budget. So we've got this like $90 website. It's absolutely horrible. And so last month I was like, it doesn't match our brand. Like we need a better website. So I, you know, we're going to launch our new website in about 4 weeks. And then we started doing some, new like marketing with Brian and just customer testimonials, and so we're gonna roll out like some new stuff for our website too, some new photography. But it's, yeah, really bad.
So who are you using for your website?
So right now we have Hibu, which is like, it, you know, was affordable. It's great. It does its thing on Google, but now we're going with Scorpion.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar.
They're completely HVAC industry, so, and they help like with the whole creative design, and I was really impressed with their presentation, so I was like, okay.
Yeah, so for anybody who might need website stuff, for several years we used a company called Townsquare Interactive, and it's like $200 a month, unlimited revisions and changes and all this other stuff, and it has done the job. And in fact, that's the same company that I use for HVAC Tactical. And I'm not trying to like, I don't get anything for any of that. I'm just letting you know,
yeah.
Because sometimes it's hard to find good people, you know? And so it definitely served its purpose, but came a time at the beginning of the end of last year where I was like, hey, for our own personal HVAC company, we need to make some changes here. We need to level up our game on our website. And so we did that. We went with a company called Rhino Strategic Solutions, and they are very similar to Scorpion. So Scorpion was definitely, when I was looking at them, Scorpion was on that level where I was looking at them trying to figure out if I was going to use them or not. So there's a lot of different companies out there. A lot of them are good and a lot of them are bad. And you just got to be able to kind of sift through the mud and figure out which one is going to be best. But yeah, glad to see you guys have a website now.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
So I keep seeing these pictures on Instagram of your backyard. Is that like a patio you guys are putting down?
Yeah, so we're putting down a new stone patio with an outdoor kitchen. I'm very excited.
And is that something you've been very hands-on with?
Too happy is spending all his money.
You've been very hands-on with that, I'm assuming?
No. So actually our landscaper has been building it, but with the design I have, you know, picking out the stone and everything and like how I wanted it and the flow of the yard. I like to have the family over. I love to host parties. If you see on Instagram, like
I haven't noticed.
If there's a kid's birthday party in the family or something, like I love having my family around, and I get that from my grandmother. So I just, having the perfect space to have everybody in my home is super important to me. We bought a house, and I know 3 years ago, and very Portuguese. We're very up here in the area we're from. It's very, you know, Portuguese is very heavily in our area.
Interesting.
Our house is stucco, and it's not really, weather-wise for New England, it's not probably really the biggest. Best choice in, you know, building material, but it was the layout of the house for me. It was the yard and how much room in the house. So if somebody, you know, family wanted to visit from New Hampshire or anybody wanted to come visit, we have plenty of space for everybody, plenty of space in the backyard to entertain. So that's super important to me.
So is stucco considered a Portuguese kind of design, I guess?
For me?
Architecture?
It may not be. I know in like down south, it's very popular in like Texas. And
I come from Arizona, and there's a lot of stucco buildings. There's a lot of stucco homes.
And so for me, I noticed like a lot of my friends who were Portuguese growing up, their houses were always stucco.
Interesting.
So for me, yeah. So for me, I was like, I always just associated with, oh, we're pulling up. Oh, you know, this one must be a Maria or.
Well, growing up in Southern Arizona, right? It's always like kind of that Sonoran style or like a Santa Fe style, right? And then I come to Texas and I'm like, man, they got, most of the stuff here is block or brick, but I'm like, man, they got some stucco homes here too. That's interesting. It's kind of out of place for Texas, right? And now you're telling me they got them up in Maryland, or I mean Massachusetts, and I'm just like, wow, yeah. that is kind of a little out of place, but I guess to each their own, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. So how far are you from Boston?
We're an hour south of Boston.
Okay. So we have it on our list to get back up to Boston. My wife and I went up there for a wedding. It was our first time in Boston. And their wedding was actually on our anniversary day. So it was kind of like a twofer. And yeah, we really like Boston a lot. Not enough to move there, but definitely like to visit. So
yeah, it gets cold.
Yeah. So we'll have to definitely hit you and Zach up next time we're up there. And since you're hosting parties, you know, we'll have to make sure we have a party at your house.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely hit us up.
Awesome. Well, is there anything that you want to close with? Like if somebody was watching this and you could give them a piece of advice, maybe especially to a woman, either thinking about getting into the trade or maybe is in the trade, any piece of advice that you would give to them?
Just be your authentic self. You know, don't stop grinding. Don't stop working. You know, just be yourself and, you know, just keep working hard because it's going to pay off.
That's a good piece of advice. So hard work does pay off. Consistency and persistence. Don't give up. You know, if you give up now, just think if you give up right now, you spent, you know, 5-10 years ago, you were thinking, man, if I could just get to that place right there. Well, here you are. Why would you give up? You just said this is where you wanted to be, right? You just got to push a little bit further to get to that, over that next hurdle. So
yeah, you're going to fail. You're going to so many times that I thought like, oh, I don't know how we're going to recover from this, you know, and it just get back up and start grinding, start working harder, figure it out, you know,
life moves on.
Exactly. And you only learn from those mistakes. Honestly, they made us stronger, you know, just financially, not knowing our numbers and certain things. It was like, all right, we got to get better at this. And now it made us 20 times better.
Well, if you look at it as a game, you know, like you don't just play a video game once and then dominate it. Like you got to play it and play it and play it. And then you realize like, oh, this is where I keep dying around this corner where this guy keeps getting me. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to be a little bit more careful around that corner next time. Same concept. So awesome. Yeah. It was a pleasure, Rachel. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for letting me be your first podcast. I hope it was everything that you ever desired in a podcast. And
it was awesome.
All that and more.
All that and more.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll be sure to post this on social media, and this should be up here in the next couple of days. And so thank you for coming on, and thank you everybody for taking an hour out of your day to listen to us bullshit about HVAC. So we'll see you guys next time.
Make a decision to be the best. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Your work reflects you, so protect your reputation. Don't ever give up. HVAC. Tactical. It's a mindset.